And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Voices from the Grid. I am your Blue Ranger, Michael, being joined by the Pink Ranger, Brian Massey.
Hey, everybody, what's happening?
And so this week on the show, we are going over the episodes Inner Spirit, Challenges, and Found and Lost, which I don't know why they just couldn't say Lost and Found, but whatever.
Was there some kind of copyright deal on the term Lost and Found or something?
I have no idea, but we're going to start off with Inner Spirit, where the synopsis for this is when Tommy finds himself plagued by troubling dreams. He finds himself returning to an old friend for guidance and learns more than he anticipated. Meanwhile, the Zeo Megazord is incapacitated in a battle with Main Drain, a monster that can drain the life force from mechanical beings, which requires Tommy to master the power of the brand new Red Battlezord to defeat Main Drain. So that is the synopsis of the episode, so let's hop right into the plot. And in this one, Tommy has a dream recalling his Zeo quest, being given half of an arrowhead by True of Heart. He also has a dream of the Rangers losing a battle in the Zeo Megazord, causing him to wake up as True of Heart tells him to focus on his journey. When he wakes up, he complains that it happened again and goes to the power chamber to see if Zordon could help him. And Alpha 5 reassures Tommy that the Zeo Zords are fully functional with no problems, but just after, a power fluctuation occurs, making Tommy more anxious. And
yep.
And it's like, so, it's like, hey, it's like 3 in the morning. Let's just stop by the power chamber, shall we?
So something I loved about that was, Tommy just kind of shows up out of nowhere, right? Yeah. And Alpha says, intruder alert, intruder alert. And Tommy says, Alpha, relax, it's just me. Remember the first time those two met, though? He showed up out of nowhere and just destroyed the place. So it just kind of felt, to me, it felt a little full circle where, like, oh, yeah, Tommy didn't just kind of show up out of nowhere now, and Alpha still kind of freaked out, but, like, Tommy's like, dude, it's just me now.
Yeah, well, not only that, but when you also look at it, it's like, homeboy showing up at, like, 3 in the morning.
Like, what are you doing? I'm trying to get my beauty sleep.
Yeah, like, what are you doing? Go away. I'm trying to sleep here, bro.
It is not 4 hours.
Yeah, this is not office hours, good sir. Go home. But moving on, the next day, a Native American art exhibit occurs at the youth center, which Rocky finds convenient after hearing about Tommy's dreams, which, as an adult watching a child show, yes, Rocky, we agree, it is pretty convenient, especially with the power surge in the city. Lieutenant Stone places Bulk and Skull in charge of selling the raffle tickets, with the grand prize being a trip to Hawaii as the incentive. Which I know. However, most of the patrons bought tickets from a man named Delmar, causing Bulk and Skull to try and find him so they could stop him. And when Tommy arrives, he bumps into somebody he recognizes as True of Heart. But the man introduces himself as Sam Trueheart, curator of the exhibit. Trueheart must go back for an important artifact he left behind, and Tommy takes him back home as the two talk. Trueheart notices Tommy's arrowhead and tells him to concentrate on his journey instead of the destination. Then, Trueheart has them stop in the middle of the desert, telling Tommy that this is a great location to find arrowheads. And just as Tommy drives off, Trueheart disappears. And however, Tommy instantly realizes what Trueheart meant by arrowheads, but can't find Trueheart to ask him more questions. Now you may chime in.
He says, this Native American Arts Festival is the first event sponsored by the Police Culture Committee this year. And my response to that is, plot lines that age like milk for 100, Alex. There's no way that they could do that anymore. Not to get on to too personal, like, you know, the way things are nowadays, but yeah, people would not buy that. But Yeah, Tommy just kind of happens upon a guy that looks very similar, almost like it's the same guy, but it's not, from ZioQuest. And then, Tommy winds up having to go on this quest. I don't know. I have mixed feelings about it.
As you should.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, at the Legion, I mean, at the Machine Empire, has sent down Maindrain to drain the power of Angel Grove and the Zeo Megazord, with King Mondo revealing that the monster has been responsible for the power surges going on as he absorbed electricity from the power plant. Back on Earth, Bulk and Skull decide to sell tickets to kids in order to win the Hawaii trip, but they have been beaten by Delmar again. Suddenly, Maindrain actually appears, scaring the kids and Bulk and Skull away. While Tommy tells the others of his experience, they have no idea how to process it until Bulk and Skull yell about a monster. Because
Right.
when I can't process how somebody's feeling, I just wait for Bulk and Skull to yell about a monster. Just then,
And
just then.
for me.
Yeah, I mean, why not? Just then, the power goes out, and after calling Zordon, they realize that Maindrain is responsible. They morph and teleport to the park, only for Clank and Orbis to grow Maindrain. The Rangers summon the Zeozords and form the Zeo Megazord, but Maindrain proves to be a tough one, not being fazed by the ZO2 Battle Helmet's blast. While Tommy manages to knock Maindrain down with the Power Sword, they're taken aback when both King Mondo and the monster surrender. However, it turns out to be a trap as Maindrain discreetly drains power from the Zeo Megazord and damages the Megazord to deactivation. As a result, Alpha teleports the damaged Zeo Megazord back to the hangar, but the damages caused by Maindrain means it would take 3.6 days to fully repair it. That is very precise. And then while the Rangers fear the worst, Billy and Zordon reveal they planned for an emergency like this and present Tommy with a brand new Zord to pilot, the Red Battle Zord. However, Billy warns Tommy that it's a very experimental Zord as he borrowed technology from the Alien Rangers Battle Borgs so it could analyze his brainwaves and he must be at a peaceful mind while piloting the Zord. Although Tommy is hesitant to try and pilot the Red Battle Zord after everything that's happened, the others know he must try and pilot the Zord in order to defeat Maindrain. Brian, I'll let you hop in here.
So I think it was actually really cool when they were adapting this, that they decided to kind of link the Red Battle Zord's technology to the Battle Borgs. That's really clever. Because obviously, like Tactical Ranger and O-Ranger, like they don't have any overlap. I think that there's like a crossover movie, but that's about it. But that's kind of something that's cool about Power Rangers is that they can do stuff like this, I think. Would we have if we had like the other two members on here? Of course, I think the first thing that they would say is, "Oh yes, of course, Tommy's getting another Zord." That's only his because why not, right?
Well, I mean, he technically is the leader of the team, so it always naturally goes that way. So it's like you kind of have to take that noise and push it off to the side.
Yeah, I get that, but yeah, at the same time, like I like the sword. I actually own the sword, and it's I think it's a really cool, if not just kind of gimmicky, like punchy robot. I kind of like too that they add in this element where, hey, you have to link up with it, and it just so happens to be that Tommy is literally going through like one of the hardest points of his life, where he's like having night terrors and trying to figure out what's going on. And you know, you could argue that maybe he was a little more devastated or not by the Dear John letter from Kim, but I think it's a cool plot point that, hey, Tommy's not able to operate this thing. And also, by the way, our main Zords are offline, so you really got to get it together. It really kind of amps up the stakes, I think, because we haven't had stakes for a while now. I mean, kind of, sort of, but like not like this.
Yeah. And, you know, getting back to it, while the others, Rangers lure Maindrain out of the city, Tommy teleports into the Red Battle Zord's cockpit. However, Tommy's inability to relax and control the new Zord leads it to rampage out of the hangar bay and even trips over itself under some rubble, which is also kind of a callback to when he first got the White Tiger Zord because he had the same issue.
Yeah.
The Rangers try to blast at Main Drain with the Zeo power lasers, but he simply throws them aside, and then Tommy repowers the red Battle Zord with his Zeonizer crystal, but he still can't keep his mind clear enough to control the Zord, leading it to go out of control again. This leads Main Drain to grab the Zord with his cable, but Tommy gets a vision from Sam Trueheart, telling him he needs to be one with the Zord if he wants to save the world. Realizing that he needs to let the red Battle Zord be an extension of itself instead of trying to force it in his will, Tommy finally brings the Zord under his control and frees himself from Main Drain. The red Battle Zord launches a flurry of punches against Main Drain before finally destroying him with its Gatling blasters. Although King Mondo is ticked off that Main Drain failed to destroy the Rangers, Queen Machina reminds him that the latter did succeed in crippling the Zeo Megazord. Back at the power chamber, the Rangers congratulate Tommy for winning with the red Battle Zord, but Billy says it will take some time to get the Zeo Megazord battle ready again. That means the red Battle Zord is the only defense they have against the Machine Empire for now, and Zordon tells Tommy that his internal struggle will be something he must face alone. Thanks, Zordon, for the vote of confidence. Meanwhile, Bulk and Skull confront Delmar over the raffle tickets, only to be caught by Lieutenant Stone, who reveals that Delmar is the son of the chief of the police. So the odds were stacked against them anyways, because why not? Back in the desert, Tommy drives up to look for Sam, only to see somebody appear in front of him on horseback, which is how the episode ends.
And, yeah, we... Tommy basically winds up going up Vasquez Rocks, which is famous for being a filming location. And yeah, that's how the episode ends. And I was like, well, you could pick less pretty places, I think. So, I don't know. What do you think about this episode?
I mean, it's the beginning. This is the beginning of a Tommy story arc.
Yeah.
This is like a story arc of Tommy where literally goes like 5 or 6 episodes.
Yeah, I think it goes about
Yeah, five, and it begins here, so it's like, cuz like you'll hear in the next episode Ben and Sasha talking about Sparrow and Arrowhead, trust in me, and came from Angel Grove, and like Spare and Arrowhead, and actually I'm going to pull them up real quick if this thing doesn't. So Brother, Could You Spare Me Arrowhead, Trust in Me, and It Came from Angel Grove. So this one's like, so Brother, Can You Spare Me an Arrowhead, Can You Spare an Arrowhead is the fourth episode of the arc, whereas Trust Me, actually, yeah, so it's a 4-episode arc because the because Trust Me is a Rocky episode.
Okay.
And It Came from Angel Grove is an Adam episode. So this is the first, so we're doing the bulk of a 4-part arc for Tommy.
Well, I mean, here's what it is. Just to kind of, because I know it's kind of become my job here, there's a very famous, or rather, I don't know how famous it is, there's this clip from O-Ranger that I really love, where O-Pink and O-Yellow are like doing some jazzercise, and the Zeo Megazord and the Battlezord, whatever they're called in Japan, are like dancing along with it. And I think the part in Power Rangers where Tommy says, maybe it copies the moves I make, that's part of that little dance that they're doing. Or he's doing that little shoulder sashimi or whatever, like that kind of... Anyways, it's not important. I definitely noticed it. Anyways, so challenges.
Yeah, challenges, which is the synopsis for this, is as Tommy continues to spend time with his brother David and Sam Trueheart, the Machine Empire sends down Punch-A-Bunch to put the Zio Rangers down for the count. That is a wonderful
punch
name.
A bunch.
That is a wonderful,
punch a bunch.
That's a wonderful name for a monster. Anyways, so going into the actual plot of the episode, again, all these are straight from Ranger Wiki. We love you. We appreciate you.
Now, what you do, man.
Now on the challenges. So, at the beginning of the episode, Tommy asks the mysterious person who he is, but the latter refuses to speak to him. Just then, Sam Trueheart appears just when the mysterious person disappears, making Tommy more confused than ever. Sam tells Tommy that he has to prove himself in order to find out the secret of both the mysterious person and his arrowhead. Taking him on a vision quest, Sam has a falcon act as Tommy's guide, but tells him not to be surprised if he has more questions before vanishing again. While on the vision quest, Tommy continues to see the mysterious person, but is unable to get close to him. At the youth center, Ernie decided to open boxing lessons for people that are interested, and Adam takes interest as it could help him develop his own martial arts style. While Bulk and Skull take interest as well, it turns out Lieutenant Stone has opened the lessons himself and gives the two a big guy to spar with, and Adam gets the hang of it, but Bulk and Skull get caught in their jump ropes. I'll let you hop in here real quick before we move on.
Uh-huh. I get it. So I think it's kind of a fun little callback that in order to finish his quest, Tommy has to follow a falcon. I felt like that was a nice little touch. But yeah, and I'm not sure what the episode in Japan was. Clearly it was a boxing episode, but man, there again, like it's kind of turned from man, there's nothing that the Rangers can't do to man, Lieutenant Stone just has his like he has his fingers in like all these different pies, doesn't he?
He really has it out for Bulk and Skull.
Yeah. Like, and I know that this isn't the way it is, but part of me has a weird headcanon where, like, maybe he kind of figures out what Bulk and Skull are going to do, and he, like, because he's so hyper-focused on them, he goes out and he learns that skill, like, in a few days, and then shows up and is like, yeah, I'm going to make your life miserable. Like, that's how it feels.
Yeah.
So
he don't like him, so he tried to get rid of him. He tried to break the spirit.
Yep. And he doesn't succeed, thankfully. I don't know. So far, what are you thinking about this quest for Tommy to gain inner peace or whatever it is he's looking for?
I mean, I kind of already touched base on it. I'll touch base on it later. Let's get more for the episode. So, meanwhile, Prince Sprocket practices boxing himself against some cogs and reveals to his parents that he has a monster that can knock out the Rangers. As Adam walks back home, Prince Sprocket lures him into the construction site where Punch-A-Bunch attacks him. Adam morphs and manages to spar with Punch-A-Bunch with what he learns from Stone, but just as he calls for help, he glows green. The others are called by Zordon to help Adam, but as they fight against the cogs, Clank and Orbis grow Punch-A-Bunch. The Rangers are forced to call Tommy away from his vision quest, and he summons the Red Battle Zord to face off against Punch-A-Bunch, only for the latter to use dirty tricks against the Zord and send Tommy flying out of the Zord. However, Punch-A-Bunch broke his glove on the last attack and teleports back for repairs. Prince Sprocket demands a rematch, revealing he turned Adam into a trophy, and says that if they could defeat Punch-A-Bunch, the Green Ranger will be brought back to normal. However, if they lose, Prince Sprocket will have all five of his trophies, giving them 30 minutes to prepare. I'll let you hop in on that before I finish this one up.
So, yeah, that was kind of... Sorry, one second. So, I'm sorry. So Adam winds up kind of saying something along the lines of, later on, he says something along the lines of, like, a man I'm still the size of an action figure, which I love because I'm literally looking at that Lightning Collection figure right now. So you can very easily replicate the scene. If you have that figure and a WWE ring just lying around your house. Yeah, this was kind of dirty tactics, wasn't it, from the Machine Empire?
Yeah. It's a neat little tactic. It starts with Adam, and it leads to, you know, it's continuing that whole battle that, you know, Tommy has to do to find himself, which it seems he's always trying to find himself every season. So back at the power chamber, Zordon believes that the spell Prince Sprocket used on Adam is connected to Punch a Bunch, and the only way to free him is to play by the prince's rules. Billy tells Tommy that he was studying the recent fight and is worried that his concentration levels are a little unstable. While Punch a Bunch gets repaired, Queen Machina gives Prince Sprocket some reassurance as the latter outfits the monster with spiked gloves. Seeing Punch a Bunch in a makeshift ring, Tommy teleports in the red Battlezord with the knowledge he must focus. At first, the two seem evenly matched, but Punch a Bunch once again cheats by freezing the cockpit's windows, and it's revealed that the ring is electrified, and when the red Battlezord gets cornered, the Rangers teleport to stop Prince Sprocket from cheating. Cat destroys the device controlling the ring, allowing Tommy to get his second win and knock Punch-A-Bunch around. After landing the final blow against Punch-A-Bunch, Prince Sprocket is forced to give Adam back, restoring him to his normal size. With the battle over, Tommy returns to his vision quest, but gets caught in the middle of a rock slide. He sees the mysterious person hanging on a ledge and manages to pull him up, only to see the Falcon to fly away. However, the mysterious person reveals that Tommy's vision quest is over as the Falcon spirit led him the way and shows him his other half of the arrowhead with the revelation that they each have been given their halves in the same way. The mysterious person reveals himself to be David Trueheart, Tommy's brother.
Yeah, and that's kind of how this episode ends. And there's it feels like there's a lot to unpack there, but maybe not. I think I have something in here on my notes, but I think it doesn't get brought up until the next episode, which I'll let you get to. But this is one of the more entertaining Zord fights, I want to say.
This is actually one of the biggest ones where we actually get an actual Zord battle, because it's like the monster literally challenged, you know, them to a fight. It's like, I want to fight. Let's dance. So you actually have no choice but to actually have a actual Zord battle shown in this episode.
Well, and this is a little off point. I feel like, I don't know when else I would be able to ask you this. Does it ever bother you whenever you're watching like a TV show like this and they're in a quote unquote boxing ring, but the ring only has three ropes?
I don't know, because I don't watch boxing.
Well, because boxing rings typically have four ropes and wrestling rings have three ropes. So, I don't know. It always kind of bothers me a little bit, but it's not enough to upset me. I wanted to know if you...
I mean, again, I don't watch boxing, so
right.
I don't find boxing entertaining. So, I don't have an opinion on the matter, because I kind of don't care. It's not my thing. So it's like that thing I was telling you about before we started recording these episodes tonight or today, was that the Rangers do almost everything except play hockey.
Yeah.
Just like, they literally do everything but play hockey. They do broom ball, but they don't do hockey.
Shame. Damn shame. Tommy winds up finding his brother.
Yeah. Woo. And we'll go more into the brother in this upcoming episode, because it's like, obviously it's just, hey, we just met, you're my brother. Okay, cool. This episode that we're about to do, Found and Lost, that's the actual episode where we should really talk about the whole Tommy's brother thing. All right. So, with that, Found and Lost is the next episode and the final episode of this episode. where Tommy's time with David and Sam Trueheart reveals a secret hidden in the arrowhead that he had been given before, one that King Mondo is taking interest in, which leads us to our plot of the actual episode. Now that Tommy knows that David Trueheart is his brother, the two start to talk as the latter reveals he was adopted by Sam Trueheart and lived on a reservation for most of his life. Tommy asks David why he didn't tell him before, but the latter said he had to make sure he was his brother and that the arrowhead contains mysterious powers. Tommy makes a promise to never lose contact with David ever again, but unbeknownst to them, Prince Sprocket and the Cogs were watching in a bush. Going to later on, Tommy introduces David to his friends. Although Skull thought he was seeing two Tommies due to the sugar from the donuts, he and Bulk even think David isn't Tommy's brother and leave to seek more information. However, the two put their plans on hold when they realize they forgot to feed Rito and Goldar. David reveals that he too studies martial arts, and Tommy decides to spar with him for a bit. Meanwhile, Sprocket tells his parents about what he discovered, and King Mondo decides that they kidnap David for ransom, get the arrowhead, and use its powers for evil. Back on Earth, Tommy and David spar, only for the latter to rip up when he jumped over Tommy's leg sweep. However, David is upset that Tommy was better than him and leaves, leaving Tanya to believe that David's embarrassed. Seizing the moment, the Cogs take David prisoner just as Tommy arrives to help. I'll let you hop in on that one before I proceed.
All right. So, yeah. The first thing that Tommy does is take David to the Yosemite. Would it have made a little more sense to bring him to the command center? Or actually, no, that wouldn't probably. I don't know. What do you think? What place makes more sense to take David?
Probably the youth center, just simply because it just made sense to do it that way.
Okay, fair enough. Do you think that this would be an exception to the rule, considering Tommy finds out he has a brother? And, you know, like, would it be an exception to the rule if all of a sudden he just shows up and, hey, Zordon, check this out, and, like, tries to get some help about, like, who he is? And, I don't know, I'm not sure where I'm going with this, but...
I don't know. I probably wouldn't, just because... You know, I don't see that really working out, honestly, in my opinion.
Yeah,
not right away, at least.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess the reason I bring that up is because David becomes one of the many people who the audience is supposed to think might be the Gold Ranger in the future. But I don't think that we've even heard word one about the Gold Ranger at this point, so...
We're not even there yet, so...
Yeah, so, yeah, I guess it wouldn't make sense. So I'm kind of jumping the gun, though.
Yeah.
I kind of love that, I kind of love that Skull, because of his sugar high, thinks that there's a duplicate of Tommy. I don't... I think it's kind of lame that Tommy decided to kind of, you know, pull a Cobra Kai and sweep the leg, Johnny. But also, what does it say about David where, like, he gets so upset by that he, like, runs off?
Yeah, it does come off as a little bit of a pettiness, because it's like, okay, it's the first time these two are sparring with each other. Like, somebody's going to do a little better than the other, you know?
Like, no hard feelings? Like, I mean, come on. Like, you're figuring this out too, right?
Yeah. Tommy's a Power Ranger. Just deal with it, David.
Yeah. I mean, it comes off as weird, and it comes off as like, okay, well, I don't know.
Anyways, the Rangers teleport to the power chamber to find answers, but Billy can't find David on either Earth or in space, making Tommy despondent. Unknown to them, David is taken to a cave under the reservation fields for holding, and he sees cave paintings on the wall. Before King Mondo could start the ransom, Queen Machina suggests they raise the stakes by sending down Maceface. The Rangers get alerted to Maceface's location, and Billy reveals that the Zeo Megazord is ready to battle again. So it literally took 2.5 episodes to get this Zord back. The Rangers morph and take both the Zeo Megazord and the Red Battlezord out to deal with Maceface, only to discover that its shell is too strong for them to make a scratch. The Rangers are forced to retreat, but not before Maceface threatens to destroy Angel Grove if they don't hand over the arrowhead. While Billy can't figure out why the arrowhead is special, Tommy still remembers what David said about it holding mysterious powers and that they can't let evil get its hands on it. Suddenly, Tommy sees where David's at and gets a message from Sam. Sam explains that the cave where David is being held was said to be the resting place of a greater evil before disappearing. After Billy reveals he's been working on a way to combine the Red Battlezord with the Zeo Megazord, hoping that it could destroy Maceface, but it requires Tommy to be in full sync with the Red Battlezord. Tommy reassures them that he's fine, but on a practice attempt, the two Megazords fail to combine, as the former's mind is too frazzled to concentrate. When they see Maceface attacking the city, Rocky suggests they split up, Tommy going for David while the others face off against the monster. Tommy goes to the reservation area to look for answers, and with the arrowhead, he starts looking for David. Meanwhile, the Rangers try their best against Maceface, but are soon overrun by Quadra Fighters. I'll let you hop in here before I finish the episode.
So, I think the most interesting part of this episode is the fact that Bulk and Skull kind of lose Joldar and Rito. I honestly, this monster didn't really do anything for me. I don't know. It was... I want to say that, like, the ending of this episode was definitely a little more like, oh, dang, okay, cool. But, like, everything leading up to it, like, you know, we hear about this Zeo Mega Battle Zord combination, but because Tommy's got so much on his mind, he can't form it, right? Which, from a story plot point, makes sense. You know, like, don't play all your cards in one thing. You know, don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Right.
With story, you got to have something for later on. That I understand, but what I don't understand is, like, they didn't even fuse it or get it to work once before, like, oh, then there was a malfunction. Like, I don't know. It would have been cool to see that, but, you know, we get to see that later on anyways.
But yeah, so anyways, I'm going to move on with the episode.
Sure.
As Billy struggles to find a way to loop around the interface, Alpha discovers David's location along with the cave paintings moving. Meanwhile, Bulk and Skull try to find Rito and Goldar, only to get pulled away by Lieutenant Stone. Suddenly, Rito and Goldar arrive, but Stone pulls the duo away as he mistakes it for a monster attack. Tommy manages to find the area where the cave is located, but is unable to teleport below to get David. Suddenly, King Mondo arrives demanding the arrowhead in exchange for David's life. Tommy reluctantly gives Mondo the arrowhead, but the latter doesn't hold to his end. In the end credits scene, Bulk and Skull reunite with Rito and Goldar. So, if you want to know what happens, you have to listen to the next episode when Ben and Sasha talk about Brother, Can You Spare an Arrowhead? Because that is the conclusion to this 4-episode story arc.
Yep, and we are not going to be on it, and I'm kind of okay with that. What is your opinion overall on these episodes?
I mean, overall, it's I know everyone harps on the fact that it's like it's all Tommy, it's the Tommy show. Like, this is, you know, I wish this type of character development would be used on other Rangers. Like, having this 4-episode arc being used for, like, Adam, because he hasn't really had anything since season 2 when he first came on the scene. Maybe giving it to Kat a little bit, or heck, even to Tanya, because Tanya needs it so much more for actual character development. It just seems that they keep developing Tommy more and more and more, and that's what this episode's about, or this arc is about. It's about building up Tommy, leading into, you know, this bigger thing for him.
Yeah, which is kind of frustrating because, you know, it feels like...
And here's the thing. They use Tommy or Jason Frank's real life brother, you know, to do it. So it's not like, you know, it's not like they're, you know, it doesn't make sense in a way because it's like, okay, they're using his real life brother. You can't use Jason's brother with Rocky, with the Rocky character. It wouldn't make sense. You know, it's like saying, hey, Adam, we're going to take Jason Frank's brother and make him your brother and make him your brother in the show when the two of them are completely separate, different people. And then if you put him side by side with Tommy, everyone's going to go, they look like brothers in real life. So it's
Well, let me ask you a question then. What if JDF's brother had been cast as Raymond? Well, no, not Raymond necessarily, but like kind of the same as Raymond.
See,
he's like,
I don't think we've introduced Raymond yet at this point. Actually, no, we have introduced Raymond at this point. I don't think it would work because Raymond's Jewish.
Sure.
And so, honestly, Raymond works best in the role of being the friend. Yeah. So it works out a lot better. So I don't think Raymond would have worked out in that role of a sibling to a ranger. But you'd have to, like, I would have used the 4-episode arc to develop a different character, but, you know, Tommy's the most popular character in the show, especially during this time amongst the kids. So it's like, that's who you work on. That's who you develop.
Uh-huh.
So,
yeah, I mean, we wind up kind of ending on a cliffhanger, which, it's a decent cliffhanger. Sorry. Let me repeat that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a decent cliffhanger. I don't know, like, and I have not watched ahead to see the next episode. I'm assuming things turn out okay, but we don't know. But yeah, just a interesting set of episodes. Definitely wish Tommy hadn't been the primary focus yet again. It kind of reminds me of that meme where Capcom was talking about, like, okay, well, what franchise needs to be remade next? And like, Dino Crisis just like, well, you know, we haven't had a Dino Crisis game in a while. And then Resident Evil 4 pops up. It's like, Resident Evil 4 is the best game ever, and everybody loves it. You know, it's kind of like that. You know, because everybody loves Tommy, so it's the top. I guess, again, it works, but they could have done something else, and I agree that, like, Tanya definitely could have used the focus a little more.
Yeah.
But
it is what it is, but if you want to hear the conclusion to this 4-episode arc, listen to next week's episode when Ben and Sasha go over it, and probably in a smart snark fest on the entire episode. So with that, Brian, where can the people find you on the social medias?
You can find me on Twitter at OneDrunkGeek. You can also find me on TikTok at BlueRangerBRI. And I'm also easy to find on TaskRakeStudios.com. We are friends of the show and have always been friends of the show for quite some time now. And, go ahead and check us out. Mike, where can we find you on the World Wide Web?
You can find me on Twitter at @thelindabomb75, Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions, Twitch at twitch.tv/themichaelx75, and everything's on the website at txhthockey.com. And then for the show specific, /x75productions/VFTG, and Twitter at VFTG_PR. So with that, Brian, take us out.
All right. So, until next time, to, as Ben loves to call everybody, guys, gals, and non-binary pals, until our next and more phenomenal episode, Be sure to grab your Zionizer and your Zeo Crystals.
And may the power protect you.